Let's get into the word. Acts chapter 4, verse 31. Acts chapter 4, verse 31. I love the book of the Acts of the Apostles because it's really brings the scriptures to life in that early church. The Bible says in Acts chapter 4, verse 31, and when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Verse 32. And the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and of one soul. And not one said that any of the things which he possessed was his own, but they all had things common. They had all things common. Verse 33. And the apostles gave witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus with great power, and great grace was on them all. Wow. When they had prayed, something happened. Go with me to Matthew chapter 6, verse 5. The Bible says, and when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites. I want you to take note. And when you pray, it doesn't say if you pray. And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites. So there is a way that is expected for us to pray. Verse 6. But you, when you pray, enter into your room, and shutting your door, pray to your Father in secret. Verse 7. But when you pray, do not babble vain words as the nations. Verse 9. Therefore, pray in this way. Wow. Can you see how packed an assumption we have here from verse 5 all the way to verse 9? Now, this morning, I want to talk to you on a subject matter: when you pray. Hallelujah. I want to talk about when you pray. Yes, it is clear from the scriptures that there is a natural expectation for every believer to pray. Where we read in Acts chapter 4, verse 31, the Bible says, when they had prayed, something happened. And then the Lord Jesus in Matthew chapter 5, he starts, chapter 6 says, when you pray, certain things do happen. Glory be to God. And this morning, I want you to understand that when heaven looks at you, heaven expects you to pray. In other words, it is unnatural for a disciple of Jesus not to pray. It's unnatural for a believer, a disciple of Jesus, not to pray. Let me be as bold as I can and say, anyone who despises and refuses to pray is yet to encounter the Jesus of the Bible. Anyone who refuses to pray and despises prayer is yet to encounter the Jesus of the Bible. It is impossible for me to be a disciple of somebody whom I don't talk to. A disciple is a student of a master. A disciple is a scholar. My wife lectures, but her students don't talk to her. And she wonders, what's up with these students? I'm busy doing a lecturing. I'm asking them, anybody who's got questions? Zilch, nothing. Nobody asks a question. But exam time comes, the lecturer tell us what is coming in the exam. Come on now. The same thing is like, it's so true in the spirit. There will be a testing time that comes in your life. If you haven't been talking to your master, you will not know how to respond when you are tested. You will not know how to deal with temptation. Something happens when you pray. Prayer is simply a two-way communication between you and Jesus. You cannot live your life intimately with somebody that you don't talk to. When you are married, the deeper your conversations, the deeper your level of intimacy. When you are like just two ships passing each other in the corridor in your house, husband and wife, that marriage is not going to live long. How much more our relationship with Jesus? If we say we love Jesus so much, can I look at your prayer diary? If I say I love Jesus so much, how much of Jesus have I spoken to this morning before coming to church? Well, I might excuse you today because you're saying, I'll pray when I get to church. Come on now. Some of you just woke up and like, ooh, church time. Can I say to you, you bring Jesus to church. You bring the presence of Jesus to church. And you do that by talking to him before you come to church. Your presence is heaven to me. The guys were singing awesomely here. But the presence of God can only be triggered by conversation with God. You can sing as much as you want. You remain as dry as a dry tree. But when you pray, you might not sing as well. You will experience the presence of Jesus. Glory be to God. Prayer changes everything. And I can say prayer is a game changer. When you pray, everything changes around you. Now, the early church got it right when they devoted themselves to prayer. Something happened when they prayed. Put this down. When you pray, something happens in you, number one. Number two, something happens to you. And number three, something happened through you. That is what happens when somebody prays. When a church starts praying, things will start happening in that church. Things are exposed in that church. When a church starts praying, things start happening to the church. The glory of God gets poured out to the church. And when the glory of God is upon a church, the power of God is present to save. Communities are healed because there's a praying church somewhere. I want you to know that your neighbors are beneficiaries of your prayer life. When you pray, your neighbors are covered, not because they are good, but because somebody is praying down the corridor. Come on now, let's talk about Lot. Brother Lot was not a good guy, not so great as Abraham was. But because Abraham was a friend of God, Lot was a beneficiary of the relationship between Abraham and God. Lot was there in Sodom and Gomorrah, and the Lord was about to destroy those two cities. And the Lord visited Abraham, his friend. And as he was leaving Abraham, he said to himself, "Shall I hide what I'm about to do to Sodom and Gomorrah from my friend?" Lot was there. And the Lord said to Abraham, "I'm about to do something." And Abraham started interceding and said, "Lord, what if there are 50 righteous people? Will you destroy the righteous with the unrighteous? What if there are 40? What if there are 20? He went all the way to 10. I wish he had gone all the way to 0. Sodom would have been saved. But Abraham stopped at 10. I want you to know that when you are in contact with God, your family is safe because you are in touch with God. When a father prays, children are safe. When a mother prays, children are saved. Glory be to God. Some of you here are here because you had mothers who prayed for you. They never told you, but they prayed for you. They cried out to the Lord for you. And this morning, I want you to know, when you pray, something happens. Let's explore. What happens when we pray? I'm going to cover with you three things, only three pillars. It's not exhaustive, but for now, that's what we're going to look at. Number one, when you pray, heaven invades the earth. I want you to get that in your soul, in your psychic, that when you pray, heaven invades the earth. Why am I saying this? Where we read in verse 31 of Acts chapter 4, the Bible says, "And when they had prayed, the place they were assembled was shaken." When they prayed, heaven moved. And I want you to know that when you pray in your closet, heaven moves. When you pray, it's like an attraction happens. You attract the activities of heaven in your life. And I want you to realize that there are very few things that attract God like prayer does. Very few things attract the heart of God like prayer does. Why? Because prayer is simply a two-way conversation with God. You see, when you rise from your bed and you go to your closet, wherever you pray, the attention of heaven is drawn. It's as if heaven says, pay attention, she is awake. Pay attention, she is talking. You know, for me, whether it's raining, it's cold, I leave my bed and I go and pray. Sometimes, look, I'm not macho man, right? I'm flesh and blood. Sometimes I am so tired. And to be honest with you, there are times where I drag myself out of bed and I say, Lord, I'm going to my prayer room, even if I sleep there. Well, maybe you guys don't do that. But there are times where my body is just like, I can't. But I drag myself, she knows, I drag myself out of my bed and I go to my prayer room. And I start praying, and there are days where I pray halfway through, I'm like, I can't, I just sleep. But you know what I've done? I have said, Lord, I want to be in your presence. And so I said, Lord, I'll go sleep in your presence. I'm not going to sleep in my comfortable bed. I'll go sleep in your presence. And more often than not, I don't sleep. Because the moment I start, the Spirit of God just comes and He carries me. He enables me to tap into another dimension of prayer. Do you know why that happens? My spirit and my flesh is willing to leave my comfortable bed to go into an uncomfortable place. My study is cold, but I go there. And I ask you this morning, what are you prepared to do to spend one more time, one more minute in His presence? And the Bible says, when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled was shaken. This was not just a natural shaking. It was a response from heaven. And I want you to know that when you pray, heaven will respond. You see, heaven opens up the inversion of heaven. Prayer opens up the inversion of heaven on earth. It creates a converging point, an intersection of the physical realm and the spiritual realm in that secret place. I've never seen somebody praying and things remained the same. Whenever somebody took upon themselves to touch heaven, heaven comes and touches them in return. I'm reminded of Moses. When Moses was up in the mountain and Joshua was down in the valley fighting the Amalekites, the Bible says as long as Moses' hands was lifted, Joshua down in the valley was overcoming. What was happening there? Up in the mountain, Moses had invited heaven to come and to fight on behalf of Joshua. And the Bible says in that moment, when Moses was growing tired, Joshua was getting defeated. The measure of your prayer determines the measure of your victory. Many people want victories, but they don't want prayer. When you have a revelation of prayer, you will pray until things change. Put this down. The absence of prayer results in the absence of heavenly manifestations. As Bazalwani, as Christians, we want to walk in power. We want to lay hands upon the sick and the sick to be healed. We want to be able to declare things and things happen. But for those things to manifest in our life, we need to be a prayerful people. As a church, we need to be a prayerful church. You know what that means? It means you need to pray privately and we need to pray corporately. Glory be to God. That is what we term a prayerful church. It is a church that is made up of people who pray by themselves. They know how to fight battles privately, but they also say, let's fight as an army of Jesus Christ. Let's come together and pray. When Peter was in Joppa, the Bible says Peter went up to the roof of the house whilst he was praying, he fell in a trance and he saw heaven open. He was in a state of prayer. When you want to see heavens open, be in a state of prayer. You know, you pray in your closet, you pray walking to work, you pray behind your desk. The Bible says, pray without ceasing, with all manner of prayer. Glory be to God. I remember I drive a lot for work. So one guy said, Mike, can you please give me a lift? Can you just go with me to work? So I started giving a lift and giving him a lift. But my life was not the same because I used my driving time for prayer. And I remember talking to my wife. I'm like, ish, it's a challenge, man. What am I going to do? I had to be honest with this man. I told him, you know what? I don't mind picking you, but it just messes up with my program. I pray when I drive to work. I won't be able to give you a lift. To somebody like, but Mike, what's wrong, man? You're helping this person. But no, it was cutting into a lifestyle that I want to have. And I want to ask you this morning, what are you prepared to give up in order to grow your prayer life? What are you prepared to let go? And you'll be amazed that it's just small changes in our lives that will change our prayer lives forever. Sometimes it's a case of just being aware and being alert that whenever I get an opportunity, I go, you pray in a tongue. You don't know what you're praying about, but you pray power over situations. Glory be to God. When you start doing that, you become alert in your spirit, man. Matthew 6:9, the Bible says, therefore pray in this way, our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be thy name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The more I pray, the more of heaven manifests in my life. Let your will be done in my life, Lord, as it is in heaven. When the church prays, heaven becomes present. There is no sickness in heaven. There is no chaos in heaven. And therefore, whatever is happening in heaven can only be attracted by prayer. I want you to realize that whenever God wants to do things on earth, he waits for somebody to welcome him. He is so powerful. He is omnipotent. He is all-knowing. And yet, he waits for me to invite him into my affairs. You see, this is what prayer is. Prayer is when we invite heavenly activities to change the activities of man. You see, prayer is a choice. I cannot force you to pray. Because sometimes I'm surprised. I look at a life, I'm like, this life should be found in every prayer meeting. But that life is not found. Why? Because there's trouble in that life. It comes down to choice. It comes down to how desperate I am for change in my life. You cannot come to me and say, I cannot pray. I'll ask, can you talk? You're talking to me right now. You see, prayer should not be mystical. Prayer should be as simple as, Daddy, I'm not feeling great today. And if you wait just a little bit, he'll answer you. He'll tell you, let's talk about it. Isaiah 1:18, come, let us reason together. There is a place of conversation with God in heaven. Hallelujah. When you choose to pray, heaven will always respond. Look at Jeremiah 29:12. In the message. Jeremiah 29:12 says, when you call on me, when you come, when you come looking for me, when you come praying, I will listen. When you come looking for me, you will find me. Yes, when you get serious about finding me, and want it more than anything else, I will make sure you won't be disappointed. The day that the church is serious about finding God, that church will find God. The day that the church will say, we will pray heaven down, that church will experience heaven. The reason why there's lack of heavenly activity is because we haven't made up our mind. We haven't decided to say, I'm going to pray from now on. I've observed a behavior amongst the men of this world. You arrange a bride, we go. If you want to gather Christians, arrange a bride. Azalwani will come. And throw in there a bit of my piano, they will be there. You know what I'm talking about? Arrange a baby shower, them ladies will be there. Baby showers. It's awesome, Jay, to be there and have fun and take selfies. But flip the coin and arrange a prayer meeting. You find the pastor and his two kids. Where is everybody? They are busy. They are busy. And I want to challenge you today as a church, as your pastor, as your friend, choose to pray. Make it a choice, a quality choice in your heart, that I might not be found everywhere else, I will be found in prayer. That is what will change the trajectory of your life. Because something happens when you pray. Number two, what happens when you pray? When you pray, you receive great empowerment. I'm not a very complicated guy. That's why I want to keep it as simple as that. I want empowerment. I want great enablement from heaven. And this happens when you pray. When you pray, saints, you receive great empowerment. Why am I saying this? Let's go again to that Acts 4:31 story. And the Bible says, when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled was shaken. Part B. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And they spoke the word of God with boldness. With conviction. Why? It was triggered by prayer. When they had prayed, the Holy Ghost came upon them. The Lord Jesus says, do not leave Jerusalem until you have received the Holy Spirit. He says, and you shall receive power when the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and in the utter parts of the world. You shall receive power. What attracts that power? It's not covenant. With sangomas out there. That power comes when you pray. When you don't pray, you are powerless. I'm sorry to say, when I don't pray, I am powerless. My words are of no effect. And yet the Bible says, speak to your mountain. The reason why we speak to mountains when we are in trouble is because all along we don't know how to speak to mountains. So when they had prayed, the Holy Spirit came down in power and gave them boldness. You need to understand the context of this. What had happened? John and Peter, after the Holy Ghost had come upon them, they were walking past the beautiful gate. They saw a man who had been paralyzed for 38 years. They had seen him before. They had walked past that place. Jesus left that man and said, this one is for Peter and John after the Holy Ghost has come upon them. He was in front of the temple. But the Bible says on that day, Peter and John ministered healing to this man and this man was healed. The Pharisees and the Sanhedrin and the Sadducees were so annoyed by what Peter and John had done, and they took them aside and threatened them. And they said, you better stop preaching in this name of Jesus. They were abused by the religious leaders. And that is the context here. they went to their own. And the Bible says they went back to their own and they reported what the leaders had done to them, and they started praying to the Lord. They started crying out to the Lord. They said, Lord, look at what they are doing to your servants. They started praying for empowerment. And the response to their prayer is a pouring out of the Holy Ghost. And they rose from that place, not from a place of fear, but full of boldness, full of power. And they said, we don't care what they say. We're going to continue preaching the gospel of Jesus. It is so important for you to realize that when you are in trouble, prayer helps. Prayer works all the time. Our pastor in Cape Town used to say to us, do you want to learn how to pray? Pray. You thought you were going to say, here is 6 points on how to pray. 21 points on how to pray. No, when you want to learn how to pray, pray. You want to teach your child how to pray, pray with them. Come on now. I want my little boy to know how to pray. I want my boy to know what it means to pray prostrate on my carpet, crying out to the Lord. He must see it as a normal behavior in the presence of the Lord. Glory be to God. Who else is going to teach him to do that? Those of you who've got kids here, who is going to teach your kids how to pray in a new tongue? Who is going to teach your kid how to wait on the Lord until breakthrough comes? Our daughter has been trusting God for a school to go to for grade 8. And I remember saying to her, you're going to pray and trust God. You're going to believe God for an opening. So she had two schools that we had applied to. And one school was just being funny. And she was feeling a bit, because her friends were accepted in that school. And she had been rejected. And we're like, my girl, I'm going to pray. You're going to pray and trust God that the Lord will open the right door for you. So every night she would pray and would trust the Lord together. And then lo and behold, Friday later comes. We hereby tell you, you've been accepted into this college. Hallelujah. You know what that did to her? She now knows that prayer works. Glory be to God. We had to tell her to pray and trust God. It was not a case of daddy and mama are going to pray. No, you're going to pray. We also pray, but you must pray. Glory be to God. It is so important that we learn how to pray and we teach our children. Put this down. When you pray, you receive strength to overcome your challenges. Let's keep it as simple as that. Do you have challenges in your life? Do you have financial problems? Do you have marital problems? Do you have relational problems? Pray. I believe in counseling, but I also believe in too much prayer. We can counsel you, but if you don't pray, any counsel that comes, no matter how anointed the counsel is, it will just run on the back of your back. It won't change you. It's when you come to a counseling session prayed up that you experience breakthrough. Does somebody hear me this morning? I mean, I've been through counseling sessions that took me through right through the night. After 1 a.m., like, hey, we're still here. It's after 12. We're still doing this thing. I mean, I can counsel you for 16 years. But if you don't pray, nothing will change. That's why the Bible says, not by power, not by might, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Say unto Zerubbabel. It's not about too much talking. It's about prayer. I want to challenge the church this morning. Medication is awesome, but medication without prayer won't work. I believe all healing comes from the Lord. You can use medication, but healing comes from the Lord. Students, you can study 24/7, but if you don't pray, you go into that exam room, you are hit by confusion. Why? Not by power, not by might, but by my spirit, says the Lord. You can be ready for a driver's license. You take so many lessons, and you say, I'm sharp now. I can cream this thing with my eyes closed. You get into that car, you won't even know how to get into number one. Not by power, not by might, but by my spirit, says the Lord. You can be a chartered accountant here, 16 degrees over beyond the thermometer, you'll get no job. Why? Not by power, not by might, but by my spirit, says the Lord. I want to challenge the church to move away from this place of just saying, I've done it before, it will work. No, it's not going to work. There's a devil on the loose who doesn't want you to do well in life. So when you pray, you receive strength to overcome your challenges. The act of prayer transmits God's power into your weaknesses. There is a transference. That's why the Bible says, when you are weak, his strength is made perfect. That strength can only be manifested when you are in a prayerful state. Prayer is likened to waiting upon the Lord. Isaiah 40 verse 31, the Bible says, but those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. How do you keep going year after year and things have not been easy? How do you keep your mind sane? You wait on the Lord. You pray. You wait on Him. You keep on waiting. You don't move until He moves. Glory be to God. That's the power of prayer. It gives you the waiting ability. Because the one who promised is faithful. Jesus told his disciples to pray so as not to enter into temptation. Jesus did not say temptation will not come. What he was simply saying, when temptation comes, when you are prayed up, you know how to respond. Pray lest you enter into temptation. You see, time spent in prayer makes you alert. It makes you to pay attention to things of the Spirit. And when you are prayed up, you are able to withstand temptation when it comes your way. A lot of us are sleeping in the Spirit. And because we are sleeping in the Spirit, we are ambushed by the devil. But the Apostle Paul says, we are not ignorant of devices, lest he takes advantage of us. And I say to you this morning, awake and pray. The Lord Jesus told his disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane, guys, please pray with me. Please pray with me. The time has come. The Bible says, they slept. They slept. The first time he comes, he finds them asleep. He tried to encourage them. Second time, he finds them asleep. Third time, he finds them asleep. You know, how many times do we need to be warned? The Lord Jesus was warning them three times until he said to them, sleep. He just said, go ahead, enjoy your sleep. He says, I know the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weary. Do you know how you deal with the flesh? Prayer. You need to pray. And he said to them, pray so that you might not enter into temptation. And straight after that, they rose up and Peter failed the test. The Roman soldiers were coming after Jesus and Peter pulled out his sword and cut out his ear. And Jesus said, I'm sure in his heart he was like, that's why I say to you, pray. It is so important that we become a prayer for people. So time spent in the presence of the Lord makes us to be alert spiritually. 1 Peter 5 verse 8. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, is roaring around like a lion, seeking whom he may devour. I don't want victims of that lion in this church. Peter says, be alert and be sober. The reason why we trip over issues in our lives is because we are not spiritually alert. When we are not found in the battlefield of prayer, we fall to the traps of Bathsheba. Come on now. The Bible says in a season when kings were supposed to be at war, in a season where the church was supposed to be praying, in a season where everybody was praying, he's like, I can't fast. Bathsheba. David could not resist because he was not rightly positioned. David was supposed to be out in the field and fighting the battles of the Lord. And I want to say to you, we are going into a battle season. It's your choice to engage in it or to be like David and like, but my son, like, Daddy, time to relax. Daddy, let's relax. When he was younger, now he's no longer saying relax. But it's not time to relaxing. Don't relax, because if you relax, you call me for counsel. And I say, were you praying? I'm like, no, I was not. Sorry, I'm not available. Pastors are so abused, Moon. The pastor is saying, pray so that we don't have to do this thing. You know, I want to challenge the church. Let's be candid with one another. There is a solution on our knees. Come on now. There is a solution and it's on our knees. Prayer is a spiritual exercise. The more you do it, the stronger you get at it. The stronger you get spiritually. You'll be able to look at somebody in their eyes like, I have seen you before and I'm not giving into it. I have heard it before and I know how it's going to work. Glory be to God. What am I talking about here? You are spiritually strong. You're able to say no. You're able to say yes as well. You see, Jude 1:20, the Bible says, but you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, praying in the Holy Spirit. When you pray, you get stronger and stronger and stronger. Whatever the devil throws at you, I want you to know, when you are prayed up, you are able to deal with it. Glory be to God. The Lord Jesus in the garden, in the desert, after he was baptized, the Bible says the Holy Spirit led him into the desert where he was tempted by the devil. And the devil came and tried to hit him and he would say, it is written. It is written. He was in a prayerful mode. And I want you to know, when you are prayerful, the scriptures become so alive in your heart, they start making sense to you. Why? Because you are spiritually alert. And the Bible says, at some point the devil left Jesus for a season. Why? Because Jesus was too hot to touch. That's what the devil do. He comes and he touches us. He feels like this one. This one, lukewarm, light, meat for roasting. That's what the devil does. He comes in and you've been praying, he touches you, he gets burnt, he leaves you for a season. But he'll come back, he's very stubborn. That is why we cannot stop praying. In all seasons, we must be prayerful. You see, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11. You know, that is a powerful, powerful portion of scriptures. I've got them. Let's get into the word. Put on the whole armor of God so that you'll be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, the tricks, the gimmicks, the treachery, the cunning nature of the devil. Put on the whole armor of God. Verse 12, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the world's rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Let me stop there a little bit. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. Let me say this. Your boss is not your enemy. He is not. So please stop saying, I'm going to sort him out. It's not for you to sort him out. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers in the heavenly places. Which means you must shift positions from the natural realm into the spirit. Because when you are in the spirit, you are able to fight properly. You know, my wife was saying today on our breakfast table, she laughed. I'm like, what are you laughing at? She's like, hey, look here, man. These guys were caught digging up graves in Mopopane so that they can go and do Sangoma stuff. Like they were caught, they're digging graves. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, people, against principalities and powers. And I want you to know that the people that you work with, they are very spiritual people. And you as a child of God, are you ready to face these principalities and powers? If you've been doing 2-minute noodle type of prayers, you will not stand. You know these shower type of prayers, you're there having showers and like, thank you Lord for the day, amen, it's going to be a great day. No, forget it. This guy was somewhere last night at an altar somewhere. He wants the same position that you want, and you think you're just going to walk into that position because your name is Small Jesus? Come on. I mean, there are people who think that things will just come on a silver platter. No. The Lord Jesus would travail in prayer. The Bible says he would rise up early in the morning and he would pray. Or sometimes he would spend the whole night in prayer. What am I saying today? We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. Your child is struggling somewhere? Crank up prayer in your house. Crank up fasting in your house. Why are you waiting for the church to proclaim a fast before you fast? Let every man carry his own burden here. Oh yeah, there's a scripture like that. But there's also a scripture that carry each other's burden. We must meet each other somewhere. You call me to pray for you, but you're not praying for yourself. How come? It cannot work like that. Maybe next time I must ask, you want me to pray for you? How much have you been praying for yourself? Before I start praying. Okay, no, I'm not that bad. I'm not that type of a pastor. But I'm just trying to draw a point here to say, carry your own burden. Travail in prayer. And then invite us to join you on the journey. Verse 13. Therefore, take to yourselves the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand. Therefore, stand. Wow. Thank you, Pastor Paul. Apostle Paul, for encouraging us to remain standing. Let's stand, saints. The Lord will come through for us. He will make a way for us. Only if we remain standing. Therefore, stand, having your loins girded about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, take the shield of faith, with which you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Verse 18, praying always, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching to this very thing with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. You have put on the helmet. You have put on the breastplate. You have put on the belt. You have put on the shoes. Pray over it. Your armor can only work when it's covered by prayer. You might know a lot of word, but without prayer, you might not be able to use the word. Come on now. That is why he says in verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication. It's a covering over your armor. You have done well. You have gotten into the word. You have done well. You know the truth. You have done well. You are an evangelist, but pray over that stuff. Let's look at the last one and then we call it a day. Number 3, when you pray, your heart is aligned with God's purposes. I'm going to run through this quickly. But I want to put this in your spirit, man. When you pray, your heart is aligned with God's purposes. Look at verse 32 of Acts chapter 4. The Bible says, and the multitude of those who believed were of one heart
and one soul. And not one said that any of the things which he possessed was his own, but had all things common.
Something profound happened there.
Naturally, the heart of a man is selfish. Naturally, I'm not prepared to share with you. That is why your little boy, your little girl, when they started knowing they were refusing to share their food, who taught them?
By inclination, we are selfish people. We don't like sharing. But when you pray, your heart is transformed. You die to self and you become alive to the heartbeat of God.
The Bible says when they had prayed, they were of one heart, of one soul, and not one said, my car is my own, my house is my own. They said, my house is open. You want to come and do sale at my house? Be my guest.
What was the trigger? Prayer.
Prayer changed their hearts to take on the heart of God towards each other. They became selfless. You see, when you pray, it is as if you are laying your life on the altar of sacrifice. Prayer is an altar. Do you have an altar of prayer in your house? Because when you pray, you die to self. I have never seen anybody who is prayerful and yet remain fleshly in their conduct to life. When you are prayerful, your spirit man becomes strong. Your fleshly tendencies weaken. In other words, the world will have no hold on you when you are a prayerful person. Prayer is like an altar. And I want you to know that when they prayed, they were transformed from being selfish to being selfless. Put this down. A praying church is selfless and united in heart and soul. That's what a prayerful church becomes. We become so united in what God has called us to do. Now, I want you to realize this morning that prayer does not change the mind of God. Prayer changes you. You know, let me say that. Prayer does not change the mind of God. Prayer changes you. Prayer changes me. Prayer aligns me with the will of God for the season. You are able to say like Jesus, not my will, but your will be done. You see, this process of realignment that happens in prayer results in a lot of breaking. It results in a lot of bruised egos, a lot of tears. Because when the Lord touches you, it can never be the same. People have made life-changing decisions on the altar of prayer. When they had prayed enough, they were able to relinquish control and allowed God to be in charge. That is what prayer does. As I finish, a story in the Bible that really anchors this matter of prayer changes you is the story of Jacob in Genesis chapter 32, verse 24. Jacob was now coming back to meet his brother Esau. We know that Jacob and Esau had a tiff where Jacob supposedly stole birthright from Esau. And Jacob knew that his brother might be having an issue with him. And he was so scared. And the Bible says in verse 24, and Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled there with him until the breaking of day. And when he saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he touched the hollow of his thigh. And the whole of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaks. Because of time, I won't go finish up the story. But as he was wrestling with God, Christ incarnate. You know, prayer is a wrestling match. It's a warfare. In that process, the Lord broke Jacob's hip. And I want you to know, when you've prayed long enough, the Lord will break you so that you become malleable, so that you become useful in his hands, so that you become fit a purpose. The hip is the point in your body that enables you to carry weight. You're able to carry a lot of weight, heavy weight. And when the Lord broke his hip, he was saying to Jacob, it's not about your physical strength. It's about my strength. The Bible says he went to Peniel to face his brother, limping. He was done. When you are done with prayer, your natural tendencies will be done. You will say, unless the Lord comes through for me, I cannot do this. You will cry out and say, Lord, I wait on you. He met Esau, frail and scared, trusting God and say, Lord, you know my heart. If it's your will for me to die today, I will die. Jacob, the cheat and the supplanter, was gone. Israel was alive. Israel, who had given his life to God. And I say to you this morning, when you pray long enough, your carnality is broken and your spirit man is made alive. I want us to pray today. Just say, Lord, I pray for the spirit of prayer and supplication. Lord, give me the grace to pray. The disciples saw Jesus praying and they said, Lord, teach us to pray. Today you can ask him and say, Lord, teach me to pray. In this coming season, Lord, I want to know how to pray. Come on now, just open up your mouth right now and just start praying.